And we're live.
We are live. All right. Welcome to episode, what are we at now, 145?
145, yep.
145 episodes of Live at the Hive. Oh, I'm Dan Nedelko, and I'm going to mute my phone.
Matt Stefanich.
Sachita Gareka.
And today we're going to be talking about we're on the theme of holiday campaigning. So we're going to give you four holiday roadmaps for campaigns that you can use for your e-commerce business or your services business during the holiday season. And also, we're going to dive into some of the more advanced features on Facebook and what Facebook advertising is all about, which are, just to sum it up quickly, interests and audiences. Those are two absolute fundamentals of Facebook advertising.
Absolutely.
Cool. But do we want to jump into what's new first?
Yeah, I think that's good for what's new this week. We do have a quick little cool little video that we did bring up for things we love this week. So let me play this quick little intro and we should be good. If you're feeling how I'm feeling and you know I won't stop, all we gotta do is take our love to the top. Hey, that's pretty good, eh?
It's not bad considering I did it last week in like 15 minutes. It's pretty decent.
It is pretty good. Yeah, so for this week, there's a few things that kind of went around the old social platforms. So I know with Facebook, let me just bring this up really quick here. Where was it? Digital. See here. I thought I had it up here.
You gotta work on your prep.
Yeah, I know.
I'll just talk while Matt gets himself queued up, because if you're on the podcast and you're listening, the number one sin is dead air.
Dead air, right? Yeah, air. Exactly. For this week, I just wanted to talk about, I know we talked about back to school shopping last week, but Digital Marketing Land has a really good article right now about what's back to school going to be looking like for people going in the future. So even though right now, I mean, back to school searches, they're actually up right now, if you can kind of see. And there's a spike right now that's happening around July. It's mostly for the Americans, because the Americans do start back to school a little bit earlier than the Canadians do. But a lot of people are actually, they're buying more online right now, and they're buying different things. I know, like, usually, even for elementary school students, you're buying like the pencils, the binders and things. But for university students, it's more so online tools, right? So a nice camera for online courses, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe some more IoT items for them to kind of keep track of their day-to-day activities, but as well as kind of, you know, getting in there for subscriptions too, right? So for example, not a lot of people are going to dorms this year for university. They're staying at home, saving money. So they're purchasing subscriptions that they would otherwise buy on campus, right? So that's your coffee, that's your food, et cetera.
Yeah, for sure. And Stacey's saying, yeah, there's a major laptop shortage right now. This was something we touched on last week in episode 144, is back to school being a really key date for your advertising efforts, where you start to see traffic and activity and interest in these trends. Another good tip for this is also explodingtopics.com, which is Brian Dean's tool, which is also another kind of trends analysis tool. And you can see things that are exploding in terms of trends. But definitely, if you sell a product that could be, and a lot of products will appeal to students, right? And especially in a COVID era where there's going to be a whole bunch of different types of things that they're looking for that are unique, definitely an opportunity that should not be missed.
Absolutely. For sure. Yep. And then as businesses, you know, are beginning to reopen, new businesses are popping up. It's really important to make sure you're kind of tracking and seeing how everyone's, the foot traffic within your store is aligning with your Google Analytics and everything. And this is a really good feature that I kind of wanted to just showcase on what's new today, but it's basically how to use Google Mobility Reports. This is a really strong feature for people who are looking to kind of keep track of their traffic within their respective geolocations. Really good for small businesses. But this is also a great way that we can track things for some of our clients too. So whether it's people looking towards like, you know, retail and recreation, grocery, pharmacy, and even like workplaces and residential. So that would be, you know, real estate, any of those big businesses. So this is a great article to kind of go through and look at, you know, where are your visitors parking, for example. That's a really key feature for small businesses, especially with all the construction that Kitchener sees throughout the year, right? So that might be a way to kind of gauge.
Yeah, I don't think that's limited to Kitchener. I mean, you could argue that everybody in North America is.
It feels like it for King Street, though, at least. Mm-hmm. That's true. But yeah, we can kind of see in here all the cool little statistics here. They're using Suffolk County as an example here. But yeah, so some really good stats. If you haven't dove into it too hard, I would definitely suggest you take the time and go through. It gives you some really key information and insights that you would otherwise overlook if you were just stuffing your face in Google Analytics or any of your other ad accounts.
For sure. 100%.
For sure.
All right, let's keep trucking along.
Keep trucking along. Well, I think right now for what's new, that's pretty well what we have so far for this week. There was one other item for privacy. I know Facebook has once again kind of dove in the depths of privacy violations things. So Apple is actually starting to kind of take a look. This one's an article about Google, but it's kind of suggesting that Apple's going to be stepping in and taking up some search from Google.
That's a big story this week, that Apple has had several and I can send you the link, Matt.
Yep.
Apple has had several jobs over advertising for, I'll put it in our private chat, there we go. Yep. This Coy Wolf article is actually one of the best ones. There's some of your more common coverage, but Coy Wolf does a really good job of breaking down why it's almost inevitable that Apple will be releasing its search engine, mainly because of voice search and Siri. And I think this is fantastic because Google does have a monopoly that's got a stranglehold on the world of search. We just did an SEO audit this week, for example. And on the client site, Bing had a 1% search engine market share for their site. Mm-hmm. It really is in a pretty expansive stranglehold on the world of search. And it's really not great for consumers. And the voice search is going to throw a whole new dynamic into this, is how that the volume of that is going to rise. And Apple working on, and they've been, Apple bots been busy crawling sites. So this is definitive. It's not speculation. It's actually happening.
Absolutely. Now,
it would be great to see Apple come out with a competing search engine. Mm-hmm. There's also some speculation that they may be partnering with DuckDuckGo, the famous privacy search engine, as well. So that's another one. The other one I did want to talk about, when we can wrap up so we can let Sashita talk in a moment. Sorry, Sashita.
No problem.
Sashita, you found this one, is the Instagram rolling out in-app shopping cart to all US businesses. Mm-hmm. That's a big one. Let me just see here. There we go. Now, unfortunately, us poor Canucks do not get to participate in it, but if you're in the good old US of A, it's rolling out, and it's great. It's going to roll out to the entire, all Instagram profiles in the US. I can't imagine that Canada will be too far behind that. And this is important because there has been the Instagram shopping page and the shopping bag, but this provides the frictionless, seamless in-app purchase experience.
Yeah.
We've been talking about that throughout the last year, that's kind of the future of e-commerce will be to provide checkouts where your customers are rather than trying to drive them to your site.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And the other interesting thing about this one here was Facebook has said that I believe for 1 year They will not be charging fees to assist small businesses with the coronavirus pandemic. So
yeah,
that's also pretty good to hear.
Awesome. Yeah, for sure. And we were talking about that last week too, on, you know, how to reduce that friction within your online store and your selling experience for your customers, right?
Yeah.
And this is one of those things that's just going to break down that barrier, right? And I mean, if a lot of businesses have ads that are driving traffic and conversions on Instagram for their online stores, you know, this might be an option where, you know, you double down on your ads and you just create that flawless experience for your customers to be able to purchase directly from that ad, which is fantastic.
100%. Can you feature Courtney's comment there?
Yeah, for sure.
This is a bit of SEO drama. And it's called a zero click search. This has been an ongoing issue where Google has been taking away traffic from websites and keeping them on Google.com properties. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a central tenet of a potential antitrust lawsuit because they are, in fact, taking other people's content, driving it through to monetization for themselves, which is, in fact, then taking away monetization from those companies that have worked so hard for many, many years to build that content and those rankings up. And I think it's, you know, I'm not necessarily going to slam any major corporation, but it's really not a great, it's not a great play on Google's part at all. It's a really, really bad take, to be doing that. They could be doing that strategically using rich snippets in different ways to in fact also help increase traffic to those sites that are doing all the hard work.
Absolutely.
Yeah, well, I'll find the Kevin Indig article that was talking. He wrote a long one on zero click searches.
Yeah,
as well, and a breakdown of that. All right,
cool.
How are you doing? We're not bad.
So yeah, not bad. Pretty good. So for this week, Sashita's on, and we're going to be talking about the four ways that we can basically create campaign roadmaps for our holiday campaigns. Now, I know you've put quite a bit of articles in the chat here, Sashita, so that we can kind of dive through. So I'll let you lead on which one you kind of want to start and any insights that you want to bring to the live.
Yeah. So we would be talking about the four campaign roadmaps for this year's holiday season. And we can start with the video ads for our social media campaigns.
How about we do this, guys? Why don't we take one step back and just put up the See, Think, Do, Care framework? I won't spend too long on it, but I think it's a good way to give a big picture context for everybody watching here. Yeah, and if you can zoom in a little, perfect. So here's a couple of key things if you're running campaigns anytime, not just during the holiday season, but in particular, it's a lot more competitive and time-based during the holiday season. Rule number one is do not just throw an ad out there and promote your core offer to a cold audience that has never heard of you before. You will guaranteed you will fail. You will spend money. You will get impressions probably, but not clicks. And those are key signs that your strategy is flawed. Facebook in particular, the thing to understand is that they are based on what are called audiences. And the reason Facebook is consistently getting in trouble about privacy is they have a whole ton of data on everything that you are doing. So they know an awful lot about everybody's patterns inside and outside of Facebook. Now, those audiences are what you want to be nurturing to develop an audience that actually knows who you are, number one. Number two, they've seen you before and they've interacted with your content before. And that will allow you to then give them value first, and then make your offer, or alternatively give them a giveaway. And most importantly, and I know both of you, I harp on this like endlessly, is get the lead, get it into your email marketing database, because then you're not paying Facebook or Google again for that lead. So we're going to talk about those roadmaps. The campaign structure that we use is see, think, do, and care. And as you successively go through this process, your audiences become tighter and tighter, more specific and more specific, the point to which when you want to make the offer to them, you've already given them entertainment or content, and then you have that ability to then make an offer to a warmed and engaged audience. Then you will see your impressions and your clicks, and then your conversions increase. And I think we've got some of our pilot examples, Sashita, that you put together in there as well, that have shown even our, like, you know, we're not perfect. Some of our pilots have failed, and then we do a quick rollback, pivot, and change to increase those results. So now we can get into the four roadmaps that you can use with that little intro.
Sure. I was going to talk about the same thing. I mean, we use the same strategy across all the social media campaigns. Mm-hmm. The audience targeting, moving on to the first strategy, I think video ads, I think they perform the best. And, you know, during the holiday season, everybody wants to put their best foot forward because everybody is going to be, you know, running online ads and giving out those offers. So it's all about getting controversial and kind of putting together a video which stands out and, you know, grabs the attention, creates kind of a buzz, and that's how people will be encouraged.
Not that one. Sorry, the wrong tab open there, bud.
Yeah, so just people will be able to encourage to click on our ads and go to the landing page.
For sure. We've got a Google slide presentation here, Matt. I'll send it to you right now.
Yeah, I don't think it's in the task here for us.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I just put it into the private chat. There you go. Okay.
Awesome. Thank you.
So me and Sashita put this together over the last few days. So as soon as that comes up, but just to that point, Sashita, if you can hit present so that goes full screen, that'd be awesome, Matt. Video is a great, especially if you're able to make and create a simple, engaging video, even as simple as mine might have been for the intro to what we love today or this week. Video is highly engaging, and Facebook video has an incredible amount of reach. So, yeah, Matt, if you can get that okay, and let's try and make that full screen. We'll be able to show you.
Oh, some it's examples. Not full screen. It's full screen on my computer right now.
I think it's going to your other screen.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Let me try this. See if this works. Yeah. Is that better?
Yes.
Is it for you? It's not for me. I'm still seeing you in slide sorter mode.
Okay. I think it's a StreamYard thing. One sec. I know what I have to do here. Sorry. One second.
All right. Producer.
It's a brand new window.
Okay. Or just share the window. So one of the things, and as soon as this comes up, you'll be able to see it. Mm-hmm. There we go. Now you're going to have to jump back a couple of slides here.
Yeah,
just the first one. Yep.
There we go. Awesome.
Okay. All right. So if we jump into the video, the video slide, I don't know, you got a weird lag happening here.
Yeah, I think it's StreamYard that's bugged right now.
Okay. Let's see if we can get it.
There we go. Awesome.
There we go. You got it. All right.
StreamYard.
don't be hating on StreamYard right now. So I'll let Sashita kind of take this, but I just got one thing to add in first is you can warm your audience and build. Again, that audience is extremely important. If you're running Facebook ad campaigns, you need to install the Facebook pixel and build those audiences, because once you build them to a high enough level, you unleash the actual power of Facebook's artificial intelligence. Mm-hmm. Very often we'll see people running Facebook ads and they have no pixel installed and you are just burning your money doing it that way. So the one thing is this can be used, there's a couple of combos here, but video is really great to initially build the audience, and you can pair it with offer plus video or humor and entertainment plus video. Mm-hmm. And don't be afraid to spend a couple of $100 to build that audience. We call it warming the pixel. That's what that's called. And that takes a bit of time to do. And I'll let Sashita get into this. And then I've got something we see all the time. That's a really not a great thing to do, but we'll get to that.
Yep.
Yeah. So this particular ad, we had run it for one of our clients. It was during the Halloween period, and this video was very much targeting to the Halloween holiday, and I think it performed really well. You can see the reach and impressions is not that great, but we already had 11 purchases through that, mm-hmm. At a cost per conversion of like only $2.49. So that's great. And yeah, just little tips for these kind of video ads for the holiday season is you can always start by posting a teaser of your video. It will kind of create curiosity amongst your users, and they will wait for your offer or maybe your products to come online. Mm-hmm. And then secondly, yes, everybody is adding discounts and offers to these kind of ads, and they do really work during the holiday periods. Mm-hmm. And then another important tip is to use remarketing audience, which I know we'll be talking about more detail later, but people who have already seen your ads or already know your brands, they are obviously likely to perform much better and convert better as compared to others. So these kind of audience do work very well for the holiday period.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Absolutely. And I think the important thing, and I added points, so it's not actually three tips, it's more like six. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was me. The use these to build your audiences, then we'll show you what creating custom audiences and lookalike audiences looks like on Facebook from that perspective. And you can then, once you build that audience and you create other segments of audiences, you can create much more specific messages, and you can be confident that the people that are seeing that content and your campaigns mm-hmm. have already seen you before. So yeah. you know that they will be familiar with you. The last point, and actually, Sushita, it was a good point about, if you notice some of the things we're featuring, these are not massive multi-million-dollar and multi-million impression campaigns, and that's on purpose. I want to show you that you can take a modest budget, still produce purchases and sales to a very specific audience and have a positive ROI and profit, right? And then you can then expand that, but in order to do this effectively, it's a big test.
Yep.
Thing. Don't be afraid to test.
Yeah, for sure. And I know when a few times when we first started, Sushita, it was all about revising, getting in there. We were pretty well in there like every day, multiple times a day, kind of looking at the updates and switching things around, you making suggestions for the client and going on board. So yeah, it really is like a test. Strategy for sure.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. All right. So let's jump to the next slide if we're ready.
Awesome.
Yep. Sense of urgency. So we have been using this lately, especially when we are coming near to certain registration dates, or maybe coming near to, you know, the offer is expiring, some kind of offer ads. We definitely use messaging or creatives that instill a sense of urgency, you know, because people, users, they kind of, the offers and products seem more desirable for them when they're in a small supply or a limited supply. So using terms like limited, now, or maybe today, new, such things convert really well as compared to just a general messaging.
Absolutely, especially during stressful times or even times where there's an increased demand in a product, right? So, for example, during COVID and things like that, things are actually in limited supply, right? And adding that sense of urgency towards your ads or towards your products really helps in the conversion process for sure.
Yeah, there's a few points I want to make on this one, because there's, I think, a few key elements that are extremely important for conversion. And as you can see, very small changes result in extremely like large results, right? Mm-hmm. Even relatively. The first thing is it's true, it is a limited time offer. It's not going to run forever. That's the first thing. Specificity and being specific is always better than being vague and being general. So you can see here, the limited time offer was obviously the thing that changed, you know, here. And that's a simple change. But there's a couple of other core elements here that you'll want to take into account. Number one, there's always a dollar amount of value, right? That dollar amount of value makes it specific to that person. 30% off is supporting the $5, right? Yep. You want to show people what dollar amount, because that's gonna make trigger them into action. All right. The other one, and this is so important, especially for e-commerce. Thank you, Amazon. But you have to have free shipping. You have to figure out how to make free shipping work. It just comes with the territory now. Many shoppers have indicated that they will not purchase if they have to pay a large shipping fee.
Yep.
Okay. So just a few takeaways here. But again, it's all about these smart and very specific goals when you're writing your ad copy. The last point on ads copy here in terms of this general messaging and offer, and in terms of a roadmap, this here is a roadmap. I would use this as a second stage campaign to your remarketing audience once you've built them in that first C stage, where you're going to get the biggest reach possible, because that's going to allow you to increase the reach and the impressions. Okay. Sure. And actually, why don't we, I put in the thread, Matt, the difference between reach and impressions.
Yep.
And Sashita and I were just discussing this on some of the stats later on.
Okay.
So effectively, you can consider reach to be unique users that are seeing your ad based on your audience. There's a lower down there. There's a couple of highlighted areas that explain it fairly well. Yep. Impressions are non-unique. So your ad may be shown multiple times. Is there not a highlighted somewhere up there? It doesn't really matter. We can throw this one into, someone can throw that into the chat.
Yep.
April saying we see a lot of abandoned cart issues due to shipping fees. That's very true. And then that's your abandoned cart strategy to get them back, right?
Yep.
So one of the things is, so the thing to understand is reach is the unique users that your ad is being put in front of on Facebook, and impressions are non-unique. So you can have a review rate of, we've got an example here, is like 1.5 to 2 times that your users have seen that ad twice. Okay, we can jump back into and go on to the next one. Unless, Sashita, you have anything else to add to that?
No, yeah. So for the example that you've shown on that slide, you can definitely see how the urgent variation has outperformed the general messaging.
For sure.
Absolutely.
Cool.
All right.
Was there a next one, Sashita, that you wanted to go? I know you linked four articles in here that I think.
Yeah. I think we were going through our examples, because I know Sashita put a bunch of time into the presentation there.
Okay, let me go back and see here if I can find that window.
So next week, by the way, folks, I just confirmed we'll be having Frank Cianciulli on as an interview guest next week. So it's going to be a slight format. Change where we've been inviting guests to come on. So Frank is a serial entrepreneur based out of Toronto. He's the founder of the Wish Group of Companies. We're going to be talking next week about how to pivot in tough times and adapt your business strategy to the times without holding on so tightly to your previous ideas of your business model. It's going to be a lot more on the entrepreneurship side and mergers and acquisitions and partnership side.
Perfect. Cool. Yeah. Does this look okay on your screen?
Yep.
Okay. Perfect.
We want the next slide there. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So for here, we are talking about giving away like free guides for our users. We have been using these lead magnet campaigns to generate leads, basically. And this is a very, giving free stuff is a very popular way to draw somebody's attention. And it always has, a great lead generation. So what we do is we kind of create offer ads or maybe free shipping ads and kind of lead them to a page where it's a gated asset where people have to download certain guides like DIY guides or maybe some information related to how do we put the products together. These lead generation campaigns, basically you get all the lead information that you need to, and like Dan said previously, we can get these leads into our mailing campaigns and nurture them from there on.
Yeah, for sure, you can nurture them. You're going to start to develop a cadence with them so they know who you are, and then that leads right into your sales process, which just should also be mapped out. These are called lead magnets. We use them in several different scenarios, all the way up to enterprise. One of our clients in the enterprise virtual events and live webinars, we had a campaign last week, and we've got, I think, 31 different checklists and guides. We did a webinar strategy checklist, sent it out. It had the highest download rate, and their sales team booked 5 high-value enterprise client meetings based on that one checklist download. So it's giving away information in exchange for an email address, done properly, hugely effective. As an example here, this particular campaign, 282 conversions are 282 new individuals in that client's leads database that they can then nurture, talk to. And again, the most important thing is you're not paying the big tech and advertising platforms anymore at that point. That's your lead. You've acquired it. And that's the most important thing. And by giving something away, you're going to get a much better cost per lead and a lot more leads into your database that are hopefully quality.
Yeah.
So consider that as a in terms of the roadmap is step one, find a checklist or a guide that's of high value to your clients. Find out their pain points. Create a landing page. Gate it with an email gate, and then run that campaign with the sole goal of generating leads. Again, keeping in mind you're building your audiences as well. This could also be a stage 2 or stage 3 in your see, think, do, care. This is often on the think side of things. We're still giving stuff away to that person, right? We're still thinking of them first before just asking for the offer. And that's incredibly important to that.
Yeah, and you can always, you know, theme it up around the holiday season. Like here, we have just used kind of snowflakes kind of a theme, and also the messaging we have used is related to the holiday season. So yeah, that also does really help.
Yeah, keeping that continuity for sure.
Yeah, one other tip as well is if you're regionally located, like you're serving the GTA or you're serving Waterloo region or you're serving whatever whatever your target region is, use the city language right in your ad and in your copy. Make it very specific and relatable, and that's going to help that conversion rate as well.
Absolutely.
Cool. For sure.
Ready. So contests, I think contests was next up.
Yeah. So I added this one at the last minute so I could talk to it. Again, one of the key things, and this seems like a very simple and very obvious strategy, but the word free is a power word in digital advertising.
Yeah.
And people will join when they see the word free. And look, you're going to generate lots. So in this particular one, it's free coffee for a year. The statement is epic, right? When I have free coffee for a year, you know how much money
everyone would love that.
Everybody would love that. Now, there are limitations on this type of thing.
Yep.
But the idea here is that, I've had people say this to me, it's like, well, we're going to get a bunch of people that are just interested in contests. It's like, yes, that is true. But as a volume, you're going to get a much larger group of people coming in, and not every lead is going to be 100% qualified. You have to be okay with that. But out of that, as a sold number percentage, it's going to be better than trying to target a very small audience directly to do an offer to like a cold lead that doesn't know you. It's a great way to build up goodwill between you and a community and an audience.
Yep.
So we can go to the next one. I think there's just a couple more examples in this particular one.
Yep.
One thing to point out about this in terms of the strategy that you should be using and the tactics you should be using, individuals or animated characters. Cute always wins. Funny always wins, right? Mm-hmm. These things are engaging to people online. And having an individual or whether it's a cartoon looking directly at the viewport of the person, like they're looking directly at them, has a huge increase in conversion rates across the board. And there are several studies. The one nice thing is that, and the last thing I'll say on contesting is during the holiday season, it's inundation with offer, right? If you are a smaller brand living on a limited budget, now is the time to go left. Well, I guess Michelle Obama said when they go low, we go high. But I'm saying when they go left, you go right.
Yep.
Right? Do things that are not part of the saturated culture of the ads at that time, especially if you're on a more limited budget. And contesting during the holiday season is a really clever way to do that, because you're going to generate every lead and then you can fairly quickly make your offer to them, right, once the contest wraps.
Sure. Absolutely.
Cool. Again, this is just some more examples of testing different types of creatives. That's one other thing in all of your campaigns. Google and Facebook are artificial intelligence platforms. They test against each other and they give us the tools to test. So whenever you create an ad, don't just create one ad. You want to create a series of ads. We've gone to extremes. We've used various platforms that are testing platforms, but at minimum 4 to 10 different variations will benefit you, because the platforms themselves will create a challenge or champion scenario and you may find results that are unexpected to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And also adding on to bundles and add-ons in this ad here, it was actually buy a coffee subscription and getting another free holiday blend along with it.
Yeah, that's another very important thing that we've talked about in the past. Don't just sell a product. Bundle. Mm-hmm. Because you can bundle your lead magnets that you've created in the past. And again, they're digital assets, but it's perceived value to your consumer if it's useful. So for example, for this particular client, I would suggest a 20 different, 10 ways or how to brew perfect French press, right? Mm-hmm. How to grind your coffee properly, those kinds of guides, mm-hmm. and then 20 different ways to make different types of coffees, right? Mm-hmm. Like different tastes. Mm-hmm. That, if I'm a coffee lover, I see that as having value. It's like buying a book, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And when you add on these bundles together, you prevent yourself from having to give large discounts because you're bundling and adding value rather than discounting and cost cutting.
Yep.
Cool.
Sure. Alrighty, and this one's the custom audiences.
Yeah. As we were going to discuss later, that using custom audiences, remarketing audiences during this holiday season especially, you cannot skip that part because you can't, basically you just want to compete, and these kind of audiences really perform well during these holiday seasons. Facebook offers these too many types of custom audiences based on the pixel and also like the in Facebook activities that through the campaigns that you're running.
Yeah, for sure. So there's a lot of different sources. There's your website sources as well. You can have an existing customer list. If you have a mobile app, it's app activity. Stacey's saying always add value. You won't only make the sale, but you'll grow brand advocates along the way too.
For sure.
And that's why building a community is important. Right. And giving away lots of knowledge, give. Mm-hmm. And then you see all the Facebook sources below that, which are the really powerful ones. So you can use your video, your video content, a lead gen form. Instant experiences are probably not as popular, but Instagram account for sure. Different events that you set up in the events manager, your Facebook page, which this is where your investment in a Facebook page, your followers, can become a benefit. So unfortunately, I think it still goes without saying that people still think that there's a free lunch on Facebook. There isn't. If you're a business, if you want to grow your following, you've got to invest in increasing. Some people call it buying followers. It's not. You're not buying them. You're putting it in front of them, and they are joining because your content is good for them.
Mm-hmm.
But if you invest in both boosting content and follower campaigns, then you can then create the Facebook page source, which is very, very accurate, and create a custom audience based on those people. And it's a great way to extend that reach into your advertising strategies.
Absolutely.
Cool. Yeah, I think we can jump forward here. I don't know if it's kind of tough to see.
Yeah.
But this is the example of actual audiences that have been built. And I don't know if you can see it there. You'll have to squint to see it. But we have various audience sizes. And I think one of the things here are the lookalike audiences. Yeah. And you can see that we've created various types of segments in here, including, I know there's moms are in here. There's Canada. There's GTA, Greater Toronto Area targets. You can slice and dice these audiences in lots and lots of different ways, and then very specifically target your message to that audience.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you can see here that there's a few that are a couple million, and then it goes down to a couple tens of thousands, and then just to a couple thousand. So there's a wide range, and it gets more specific as you go along, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Alrighty. And I think that was the final slide of that presentation.
No, I don't think so. Was it? I think we got one. We got one or two
examples
more
examples about the lead generation campaigns.
Yeah.
Oh, these ones are here. Sorry.
Yeah. That's okay. That's okay. So go ahead, Sashida. Why don't you cue this one up?
Yeah. So we have been using these lead generation campaigns, which we have tested with our few of our clients before. Mm-hmm. We tested them against a landing page conversion, and definitely now we don't go back to our landing page conversion for this kind of an ad campaign. This is for a webinar promotion that mm-hmm. we do. So I think the lead generation campaign really, really works for this kind of a campaign. With this kind of campaign, I mean for this particular ad group, for mm-hmm. like age group of 55 and above, because it's very easy to fill out the Facebook form. Also, since the Facebook forms are like mobile optimized, and you know the information is auto-filled, it's very easy to register and go forward. You get all the necessary information regarding the ad and everything. It's just that the conversion-based landing pages, users tend to get lost on the landing page, or maybe you know they don't want to fill out all the information manually. We just didn't see any great results there. But these kind of campaigns, you can see the next slide. We've put together a few matrix there, the comparison between the lead gen and the landing page campaign. So definitely, we saw like almost 15.446 increase rate in the conversion rate with a cost per conversion of hardly $30, which is great because this campaign was running for almost only 2 to 3 days on an average, as compared to the other one, which was running for quite some time, but we weren't getting mm-hmm. as the results as expected.
Mm-hmm. For sure. And I think, you know, there's Facebook lead gen forms lead to what we were talking about with Instagram in terms of reducing friction. So the user doesn't have to leave the site. They stay on the site they're at. It's instantaneous, and it's simple because they don't have to fill anything in. Now, that's not a blanket statement. We've seen other scenarios where the Facebook lead gen forms don't work as well as the landing page. In this case, if we go back one step there, Matt, quickly, this is a very specific type of webinar focusing on people near the age of retirement. And thinking about their retirement or potentially looking at the retirement planning, you know, for their parents and that kind of thing. It's a very niche audience in a very tight geographic range, right? So we're good with those numbers. But part of it, I would add the intuition that part of it is because if these people are seniors and they're on their mobile devices, they really like navigating landing pages is something that may not be very familiar to them, right? But Facebook is familiar to them. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of this like technique of matching your campaign type to your specific audience so that they're matching. And you know, millennials are going to be very different than boomers, for example. Right.
Yeah.
And I think that's important. Sure. On that next slide, I mean, the conversion rate went from 8.1 to 15.46%. That's double. Right.
Yeah.
So these are the kinds of effects you can have when you're testing these types of things. Yes, definitely lead gen forms are a very effective way.
For sure.
To go.
Yep. And this is what one of the lead gen forums looks like.
Yeah, and definitely I do encourage using like custom questions. You know, they just basically help out to get more information from these audience. And this is just like just a click away from getting registering for that, you know, and you can also give options to those users.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And I think the most important, and we're done with that, I think, and we've also gone a little bit over, which is good. So I think one of the takeaways here, and this has kind of gone through everything from the beginning to the end. So we have the four types of campaigns that you can put together for people. You have your videos, you've got your lead magnets, contests, and what was the fourth one?
Lead forms.
Lead forms. That's right. Which we just finished talking about. There you go. It's been a long week. And the overriding theme is specificity. Be specific. Give them details. Just don't put up neutral language ads that don't offer very much value. Because trust me, if you say 10% off, limited time only, if I go to Amazon, I'll find it for cheaper.
Yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And you got to add that value to your customer. And create content that's experiential content for social. It's got to have that little kick to it to make it effective.
For sure.
Okay.
Cool.
All right, everyone. Well, it's 5:08 p.m. on a cloudy Friday afternoon here. What do you folks have up for the weekend?
Sashita?
Nothing much.
Nothing.
Nothing.
Yeah, nothing much here. It's going to be a bit of a cloudy weekend. So yeah.
I'm mourning. I think we're going to get the remnants of, was it Linda? Hurricane Linda? Category storm?
Yeah, we're supposed to get
rolling on. It's rolling on through. It's not nearly as strong as it was, but mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll be prematurely mourning the passing of summer.
Yeah.
I already
we still got close to a month left with global warming, I guess. So.
Yes, I know. Yes. All right, everyone. Well, thanks for joining us for Live at the Hive episode 145. We will see you next week for Live at the Hive episode 146 in an interview with entrepreneur Frank Cianciulli. Awesome. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you next time.
See you guys then. Bye-bye.